I'm Gary Null. This is the program that empowers people. Of all the programs, and there are a lot of really good programs, a lot of good podcasters out there, and I commend them. But we're the ones that help lengthen your lifespan, improve the quality of your life, and then look at the environment. What are the solutions, not just the problems? And then we take a look at other issues that are impacting us and see what is the truth of it. We have the most investigative reporters on this of any program I'm aware of. Today, we're going to explore all the above. How to live a longer and healthier life. There's new research that has found that between a disrupted body clock, you're creating inflammatory diseases. What does that mean? University of Medicine and Health Sciences is going to go into that in depth. I have a lot on health and healing. But then also, Dr. Rose was on this program about 2 months ago. I believe she's a double PhD. She's one of these nerdy people that just lives to read studies and decipher them. She's also a scientist working, and she does analysis of other people's work. So she's the one who showed that the vaccines were not working as promised. They were very short-lived in the people they did benefit, and then the people had to have constant boosters, which would overstimulate the immune system and therefore become counterproductive. She was attacked, of course, first time in her entire career. So she's fighting back. Time permitting, I'll read her commentary against the establishment. But thousands of doctors and scientists are fighting back as well. One of them is Dr. Peter McCullough. Now, he is arguably, by any standard, Dr. McCullough is one of the world's greatest living scientists and an outstanding physician. In fact, if you Google him up on PubMed, the government's official repository of the best scientific medicine research in the world, he has more citations than any other cardiologist and nephrologist in the world. Hundreds of articles published. But he was the one, pro-vaccine, pro-orthodoxy all the way. Under normal circumstances, he would never appear on this program, but he did for a full hour. Why? Because he says that this is not a safe vaccine by the standards that other vaccines have been measured. He takes all the other vaccines, as does his family. So he's not an anti-vaxxer. Yet that's where they would like to push everyone into one corner. If you question anything, you're a vaccine denier. No. It's just that the science is not good. It's terrible. It's killing people. We're going to show you how many people as of today have died by the government's own statistics. By any measure, they should have stopped this and gone to medicines that are proven to help from the very early stage of a disease right through to hospitalization. It is estimated by all the people I've interviewed, and these are top physicians, that we could have saved upwards of 85% of all the people who've died in the United States, and by extension, other countries. So, why isn't the media covering this? Because they're very biased. So we're going to get with all this. Also, we're going to have a person who is, I would say he's a modern day, you know, common sense Will Rogers type of guy. He just tells it straight. And we're going to go to him a little later. So we have a lot to share. Let's begin. In a 24-hour period, your body is constantly adjusting the chemical reactions in the body so that you're into a sleep cycle and a wake cycle. And that's important. And unless you disrupt it by working a night shift or by staying up very late or by getting up too early and you're not getting that really nice cycle, you can disrupt your circadian rhythms, what we call the body clock. And it, when it's disrupted, according to this study from the University of Medicine and Health Sciences, it drives inflammation in your body's immune cells with implications for the most serious and prevalent diseases in humans, cancer, heart disease, diabetes. The circadian body clock generates 24-hour rhythms that keep humans healthy and in time with the daylight cycle. This includes regulating the rhythm of the body's own innate immune cells called macrophages. And when these cells are in rhythm, and that's good when they're disrupted due to things like erratic eating, sleeping patterns, shift work. The cells produce molecules which drive inflammation. This can lead to chronic inflammatory diseases. Again, heart disease, obesity, arthritis, diabetes, and even cancer. One more reason to get a good night's sleep and don't eat within 3 hours of going to sleep. All right? Another study from Massachusetts General Hospital, just out today, shows that social media is tied to a higher risk of depression. This is the latest in a spate of studies investigating links between the use of social media and depression, and it suggests the two go hand in hand. The new study follows a year-long look at social media use and the onset of depression among nearly 5,400 adults. None reported even mild depression at the start, but in multiple surveys over 12 months, depression status had worsened in some respondents. And that's what the study found. The rise rose with the use of three hugely popular social media sites, Snapchat, Facebook, and TikTok. None showed any signs of depression at the first survey, but after completing at least one similar follow-through, it went up. So here's the takeaway message. Now, some of you remember about 5-6 years ago, maybe longer, I had about 7 to 8 million people following me each day on Facebook. It was one of the most popular on Facebook. It was consistent, and it was positive, nothing negative, just answering people's questions and talking about how do you stay healthy and how do you deal with environmental issues, how do you become more self-sustaining, etc. I decided one day I didn't want to do it anymore because they began to censor things. I didn't like that. So I left. I don't Twitter. I don't do any of these other social media at all. You know, I've written 75 articles challenging any legitimacy in Wikipedia, and hence the concept of walk away from Wikipedia. It's unreliable. It's not just unreliable. My personal opinion, it's dangerous because they're pro-vaccine, they're pro-orthodox medicine, they're pro-big pharma, and they hate with a passion anything in the alternative field. So why even participate in anything on it? There are other sources. So it's important that we find these other non-political and non-ideological sites so that we can share videos, stories, articles, commentaries, and communicate. When you're looking for a solution, you're going to be in a different mindset, a positive, let's see what we can do to solve this problem, versus on the social media. Everything is bitter and attacking people and unsupported claims. And so you get inundated with this negativity all day long. It's very nihilistic. It's very counterintuitive. I mean, could you imagine pouring boiling water onto a rose bush or pouring some form of highly acidic beverage on a rose bush? It's going to kill it. What do you think happens when we're inundated with negative news all the time? Look at CNN and MSNBC and much of Fox, and all you have is negative, 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 negative. Everybody's balkanized in some ideological conflict. So stay away from social media. You don't need it. Engage in real-life communications with real people and focus upon what can I do to solve a problem, whatever the problem might be. That way, you're not going to be depressed. I'm sure you've had avocados. A lot of people don't eat them. I do. I try to have an avocado every day, and I try to make a different dish. For example, today, I'm going to take some avocados that I grew, and I'm going to, first, I wash them on the outside skin, because people don't realize how many people could touch it, or even birds can defecate on it. It can always assume that something has to be washed. So I wash it, and then what I do is I'm going to dice it, and then I'm going to dice some scallions and some red onions. I rinse the onions underwater. That takes away the kind of the tartness. And then I mix that with a little mustard, and I stir it around, all right? And then I put it back into the other half of the avocado with the pit out. And that way, I have a nice dish. Now, I could also add in some hummus and make that into even a more interesting configuration that goes into a salad. And then I'll make a sprout salad, and the salad sprouts I grow. You could grow 40 different types of sprouts. You could have a bowl this big. That would be extremely healthy and detoxifying, especially if you get the onion, garlic, wasabi sprouts. They're very, you know, they're very sharp in their taste, very, very delectable in my opinion. But anyhow, avocados have got really good fats in them and good fiber. Well, here's a study. Study is from University of California, San Diego. They found that eating lots of fruit, and by the way, avocados are a fruit, that you are limiting caloric intake and you're becoming overall healthier. That means healthier heart, lowering blood pressure, and it's just terrific for your overall immune system. And also when you're eating an avocado, there's a satiety, meaning you're satisfied. And therefore, you're less likely to eat some unhealthy food like dairy, meats, and refined grains and sugars, which have negative nutrients like sodium and fat that you don't need. Now, something you can take, according to a study done in China, and this is from Shanghai and Beijing universities, it's called crabapple. C-R-A-B-A-P-P-L-E. There's an extract, and it lowers your cholesterol, and especially if you're overweight. And if you're on a high-fat diet, and if maybe you're not, but someone you know is, then suggest they take the crab apple extract supplement. Lowers cholesterol, big time. And that helps prevent heart disease. So, again, there's lots of things in nature that we could use that would help prevent atherosclerosis. And that's just one of them, the crabapple. By the way, it's long been used for the treatment of diarrhea, digestive and conditions in traditional Chinese medicine. And it's a very powerful antioxidant. Also, from Wake Forest University School of Medicine, aerobic exercise preserves brain volume and improves cognitive function. Using an MRI technique, researchers found that adults with mild cognitive impairment, starting to lose their memory, who exercise 4 times a week over a 6-month period, experience an increase in brain volume in specific or local areas of the brain. So that's extremely beneficial. And also, are you a morning or an evening person? It might be due to your gut bacteria. University of Haifa in Israel. A new study by the University of Haifa reveals that certain gut bacteria differ between morning and evening people. It's already known that there are some genetic differences between, let's say, the two. But research in fruit flies in this laboratory inspired them to test the impact of gut bacteria on human chromotypes. And it made a difference. So what we're seeing is people who just feel more energized, they feel more alive in the early morning, and they can wake up without an alarm clock, those have a different type of bacteria than those who tend to come more alive at night. Now, what we're going to take at the break, and when we come back from the break, you're going to watch a discussion between two of the leading people in Israel, activists, highly educated, very successful. And they're going to take a look at what's happening. The overview is this. Israel is one of the most vaccinated countries in the world in their senior population, almost 100%. But now they've had 2 vaccines, and a lot of people started to go to the hospital. So the word was the unvaccinated are going to the hospital. No, absolutely wrong. It was shown by Dr. Rose, who I'm going to read her article in a little bit, that it was the vaccinated going to the hospital and dying, coming down with all kinds of serious adverse effects that the government was not reporting on, because the government in Israel doesn't have the same vaccine adverse event reporting system, the VAERS that we have in the United States, or the European reporting system, or the yellow card reporting system in Great Britain, etc. Why wouldn't they want to track the outcome of people who are fully vaccinated? So then they start giving them boosters. So now they've had two boosters, two vaccines, two boosters. That's four vaccines within a year. And they're really ramping up the sickness. They're going into the hospitals in droves, overwhelming the system. Upwards of 90 to 95% of people appearing in the hospital were fully vaccinated, including with boosters. So if that's the case, then three things we learn immediately. One, the vaccine was not protective. They got it. All right? Two, many people who were negative, didn't have COVID, when they got the vaccine, became COVID positive. So the vaccine in and of itself gives you COVID. Three, that the vaccines wore off very quickly. Immediately within 1 to 2 months, the initial protection by the antibodies declined precipitously. And now after 3 months, it's functionally worthless. They also could then spread it. Now think of that. Think of people who are only allowed to go into movies and concerts and nightclubs and stores if they're fully vaccinated, thinking that they're safe. And those who are not vaccinated, for whatever legitimate reason, there's an apartheid system. Some have to wear ankle bracelets to monitor their goings. And that's similar to Australia. Well, now it's shown that the major spreaders and the creators of the variant are the vaccinated, not the unvaccinated. So everything we've been told is its opposite. You're going to hear from Dr. Peter McCullough in a few moments, and he'll explain this in greater detail. Now, everything I'm saying, I have up in my notes. So when I'm talking like this, you can go and get the full interviews, the full articles, supporting articles, all from peer-reviewed literature with real scholarship, not my opinion. So you're going to hear from Efrat Finstein. She's a chief marketing officer and a human rights activist, one of the leading human rights activists in Israel, lives in Tel Aviv. And she candidly speaks to Sonia about how COVID has been marketed as if it were a brand by world governments and the mainstream media. She talks about the general protest movement in Israel and how it evolved from an anti-corruption to an anti-lockdown green pass demonstrations. She gives insight into the psychology of the state of mind, a fear that many Israelis are accustomed to living under, making them compliant to obeying the draconian COVID rules and to not question the mass vaccine rollout. So on the one hand, you've got some of the greatest intellects, scientists, physicians, philosophers, teachers in the world, in Israel, for such a small country with such a small population, they really exceed in their achievements. And yet, why are all of them, or the vast majority, compliant without protest? Why? When we come back, we're going right into their discussion. This is important because Americans are totally unaware of this. Then you ask yourself this, how much of what they're experiencing in Israel is now being experienced the way we're marketing as a product, the vaccines? Mind you, if Fauci and them said, okay, get your vaccine if you have comorbidities, if you're over a certain age, if you have immune deficiencies, it will give you some short-term protection. You can still catch the virus and transmit it or its variants. Okay, that's legitimate. But if they also said, but we have currently in our stockpile FDA-approved drugs, off-label use, that have been shown to keep you from getting sicker once first symptoms appear, then that's reasonable. We're using everything. But they didn't do that. In fact, they attacked any other drug or person promoting any drug, FDA approved, that had a long history of helping with other illnesses, as if this was unproven. And yet, at the same time, hundreds of scientific studies were being published, clinical studies showing it worked, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. Then the expose showed who was behind the attacks. articles attacking hydroxychloroquine in the British Medical Journal, The Lancet, the New England Journal of Medicine, and the Journal of the American Medical Association had to be retracted because it was shown to be wrong. They were wrong when they attacked hydroxychloroquine and its promoters. So that's why the conditioning of the American mind is so important.
Why do Israelis don't participate? And why do they buy all the lies of the government, right? Yeah. Because I think this is a core question that a lot of people ask us. And this takes me back to the way we are educated. Israel is a young country. We're 70, 80 years old. And from the beginning, you know, the whole narrative is we are haunted. This country is given to us because we went through World War II. And now we have a safe haven in one country that every Jewish person around the world can find that safe haven and come here and feel safe that this is your home. But always remember that there's someone there to take you down, that there's someone there to haunt you, right? This is like your upbringing, your conditioning as a Jewish person, as a Jewish Israeli person. And there are enemies around us, like the Arab countries, that we always have to be alert for you know, wars that may occur. And so as an Israeli, as a Jewish Israeli, you grow up always in a state of alert, in a state of fear, some kind of, it's like, it's in the background. It's not like you're walking around in the street fearful, but you are always, you know, that the next threat is behind the corner and something can happen. And the way we are brought up in school as kids, we are being taught about all the different wars we went through as Israelis from 1948 all the way to today. And we talk about the World War II and we learn about these things. So this is installed in our education. And then as kids and adolescents, we are also always being talked to about the army that is about to come when we turn 18. And then we have a mandatory service in the army for 3 years for men, 2 years for women, kids, not men and women. Yeah. And we know that that's about to come. And what's the army, culture? Obedience, right? You have to do what you're told. You have to go to the army. You have to obey. You have to comply. Otherwise, you can be sent to jail, to an army jail, to a military jail. And so that's our conditioning. That's our upbringing. We are being taught to be compliant, to be obedient, and to be in a state of alertness, state of fear of possible, like possible emergency. And then our reality, our day-to-day reality, even after we finish the army, is a reality of emergencies. Israel is a country where we have a lot of war, a lot of military projects, a lot of problems with our neighbors. And so we are used to living in a state where tomorrow morning, there can start a war and we know what to do. If it starts, what we need to do is we need to listen to the government. The government has our best interest in mind, and we have to run to the next shelter and we have to obey. And that's how we will be safe. And then the war will be over and we will be okay again. So our conditioning of going in and out of emergency state is very good. It's right. Amazing. And I think that's one of the reasons why Israel was chosen to be that country that we lead this vaccination program and that will have such strong coercion and such strong discrimination, because most people, they buy the government's narrative. They know that the government and the army has just their best interest in heart. And it's not possible that the government will want to hurt us as citizens, right? So I think this is the atmosphere. This is like what's behind the scenes that is allowing us to accept what's happening. And this is why it's hard for people to wake up. It's hard for them to believe that someone wants to hurt them. because we are so used to living in that kind of conditioning, of that kind of atmosphere.
Welcome back, everyone. Nice to have you. And just to add something on to what's going on in Israel that the American press has refused to discuss, Anthony Fauci has not gotten a single question about this, is that Israeli study says that COVID shot efficacy decreases dramatically after 3 months. And that means they have to call for the boosters. Who said this? The British Medical Journal in the current issue. A study published by the British Medical Journal today finds a gradual increase in the risk of COVID infection from 90 days after receiving a second dose of the Pfizer vaccine. The study was carried out by the Research Institute of Leumit Health Services in Israel. And Israel is one of the first countries to roll out a large-scale COVID vaccines campaign in December of 2020. And therefore, we see a resurgence of all these infections. Well, shouldn't we say that if people are getting fully vaccinated, but then they're coming down with the virus, something's terribly wrong. And yet, they just keep pushing more and more vaccines. And by the way, I told you this in the very beginning, and I'll say it again. Question everything by everyone, myself included. That's why I put all my notes so you see my sources. They're high-quality sources from PubMed. Here's what you got to understand. That you should be putting your energy into preventing your immune system being weakened. But let's say we have all these 100 million, 200 million Americans with weakened immune system. Now they're saying, but give the vaccine to people who have immune challenges, meaning their immune system is weakened or they have autoimmune conditions. Show me the science that shows you, show me any science that shows you that if you have an autoimmune condition, that the vaccines will help you instead of compounding it. If you take an immune system that is already struggling, that is broken down, that is ravaged by disease, and then you create a whole new demand for the body to create antibodies to the spike protein, which is in all your cells, trillions of replications, what do you think that's going to do to the immune system? It's going to collapse it. So what are we seeing? People in nursing homes who had no COVID were given the vaccines, developed COVID, and died. In large percentage, sometimes 60, 70, 80% of the people in nursing homes died. This happened in Norway, it happened in Gibraltar, happened in the United States. So they do not know what they're doing when it comes to the immune system. They're clueless, and this is dangerous. How dangerous is the vaccine? Let me give you one official statistic. This is just one. And here's what it is. 31,014 deaths, 2,890,600 injuries, at least half of those serious or life-threatening, following COVID vaccines in the European database of adverse reactions. All right, official statistics. In the United States, any drug or any vaccine that caused more than 20 deaths stopped. 20 deaths. We're dealing with 31,000 that we know of in one reading in one part of the world. That doesn't even include America. You take all the people who've died, it's over 100,000, well north of 100,000, and probably in the neighborhood of 10 million worldwide who've been injured. This is genocide. And yet the media will not challenge any of this. So we are. All right? We're just showing you that a lot of these injuries are serious, and the media will not touch it. You're not seeing any of this. So just want to let you know that. Now, I'm going to share something from Dr. Jessica Rose. And Dr. Rose wrote a little editorial, and I'm going to give you the highlights of it. It was called Censorship Equals Dictatorship. I believe she's absolutely spot on. You can read the entire article by going to garynall.com. Also, if you want to go to PRN and read any of the material we have, take a moment, write it down, or type it into your computer, and here's what you do. Rodney or Jesse, here's what people should know to get into our system to look at all of our evidence. ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. And all of our facts are there. No opinion, facts. So now we have censorship, and it's continuing. And Dr. Rose did a very detailed and informative interview with Frank McCaughey of Ireland on the subject of the pointlessness, potential harms, and dangers of mass injecting children during the pandemic with the known non-sterilizing COVID-19 injectable products. And it's been removed. The interview is no longer on YouTube, but then again, no one has anything on YouTube that challenges Fauci or on Google. And yet it supposedly it goes against their community guidelines. So, and then if you've seen anything taken down by YouTube, it always tells you that this goes against our community guidelines. And these determine what content is allowed on YouTube and help make YouTube a safe place to foster community. Orthodox community, fascistic community, totalitarian community, not an open, honest community. That's why I no longer am on it. So here's what Dr. Rose said. She says that a community akin to an enslaved, dead-eyed mass of hypnotized automatons. She says, no, I don't want that. I'd rather live on that a cat island. So for those who didn't get to see the video, and most of you haven't, you'll have to go to other sites. And there are Vimeo and other sites that, and let me tell you some of the sites my videos are on and my articles are on. And Jesse has a list. And Jesse, let's just go down the list right now for the people. So we're on Vimeo, and we're on, what other ones here? Brand New Tube. That's Brand New Tube. What other one? BitChute, BitChute. And what else? Rumble. Odyssey. Okay? That gives you at least six, and we're trying to get on more. And that's why we're not posting anything on YouTube now. I have thousands of videos and podcasts up on YouTube, but everything now is going under these. So Dr. Rose is looking at the non-science of injecting prepubescent children with an experimental product for which the ingredient list is a big secret for the disease that they do not succumb to. So it's become ivermectin. Ivermectin could help everyone, but you will not see that allowed to be promoted anywhere. Even peer-reviewed scientific journals, clinical studies, of which there have been dozens and dozens, with hundreds of thousands of patients, thousands of scientists, none of that is allowed to get out. They just don't want you to have that. They want you to get with the program, and so they're engaged in censorship. And she's saying, do your homework. Don't trust them, because misinformation is there. And she recommends the use of ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine for the treatment of COVID. And it's an effective treatment for COVID. And all their claims against it are wrong. So they want you to believe that you're taking a horse medicine. You're not. You're taking an absolutely wonderful medicine that's helped over 4 billion people, nearly 4 billion people, and mainly in third world countries, suffering from parasitic infections from malaria. So that's the difference. So she's fighting back. All these doctors and scientists are fighting back because they want to get the anti-parasitic ivermectin into the hands of people all over the world, and that can make a difference. So good for you. I'm going to have her live on the program in the near future where she can go into great depth on this and why we can't trust all the stuff that's being talked about out there. Now we're going to go to Dr. Peter McCullough. I think you'll find this clip interesting. He's being interviewed by an English journalist, and he's going to hit on some of the most salient points Now over to Dr. McCullough.
I want to talk about some of your findings in relation to the safety of the vaccine, particularly in the cases of myocarditis and in younger people. Could you take us through that?
Yeah, the safety of the vaccines has been a giant concern. You know, we didn't have high expectations that the vaccines would do much in terms of preventing COVID-19. I published an op-ed in The Hill last summer before the vaccines came out. I said, listen, this doesn't look good. They look like they're rushed. Looks like they're not going to work very well, and there's going to be problems with safety. And boy, was I right. When they came out of the clinical trials, it was about 90% efficacy against binary COVID-19 as an outcome. But there weren't any severe cases. There was no mortality benefit. We now learn from the Pfizer dossier that there were more deaths with Pfizer than there were with placebo. And then the absolute risk reductions were way less than 1% because hardly anybody got COVID in the clinical trials. They recruited fastidious individuals not exposed to COVID. So the vaccines were not a good trial against a challenge of COVID-19. So they got out into use, and that's what we learned early on in January. We were already over the line in terms of excess mortality. The trials were not stopped, and now mortality is raced up in the U.S. system. We have over 18,000 deaths certified by the Center for Disease Control. Half of them are domestic inside the United States. And I have to tell you, it doesn't look good. Analyses by Rosa McLachlan have shown 50% of the deaths occur within 2 days of the shot, 80% within a week. We know the spike protein is the culprit. The genetic vaccines trick the body into producing dangerously high and prolonged production of the spike protein. It kills the same people that the COVID-19 respiratory illness kills. Those who are seniors, those who are frail. In fact, 86% of the time in the McLachlan analysis, there's no other explanation outside the vaccine did it. So we know there's a dangerous mechanism of action. We know there's a very strong signal, 18,000 deaths. We know it's internally consistent because there's other non-fatal serious things that happen, like blood clots. And the FDA tells us the vaccines cause blood clots. The FDA tells us myocarditis. FDA tells us serious neurologic problems like paralysis, etc. So we know it's all internally consistent. We know it's externally consistent. I mean, the same patterns are seen in the MHRA system, the yellow card system in the UK, and the UDRA system in Europe. We know that, again, it's very tightly temporally related. What I've just described to you epidemiologically is the Bradford Hill criteria for causality. So the answer is yes, the vaccines are causing death in a sizable fraction of individuals who indeed die after the vaccine. Now, people say, wait a minute, Dr. McCullough, that's rare. It's rare that patients die. Well, I can tell you, if you look across the entire vaccine program, before the COVID vaccines came along, the United States, 278 million shots, 70 vaccines, we would see maybe 150 deaths a year. No single product more than 50 deaths. It's sporadic and not temporally related. Here, 18,000 deaths, it's unequivocal that the COVID-19 vaccines in some are lethal. Now, there's been no safety report to Americans or to Canadians or Australians. We haven't heard anything. We demand, I'm a doctor, the CDC, FDA, and NIH, they work for me. They work for the TGA works for you. We don't work for them. They're agencies that serve the public. There's been no safety report. There has been no analysis of why people are dying after the vaccines, which vaccines are the culprit, which type of patients are at risk. How can we safely administer the vaccines? And here we are nearly a year into the program, and there's been no attempts at risk mitigation. Nobody said they're sorry. And I can tell you, Americans are outraged, absolutely outraged. They're now being told, you know, basically the vaccine program came to a halt in April when people started seeing their relatives die after the vaccine. No one's going to take them. Then there's a whole series of just distorted inducements, like not free beer and donuts, hot dogs, and didn't do it. So then they offered raffles and little payments at work, and still nobody did it. Then they offered $1 million raffles, no one did it. Free college scholarships, they wouldn't do it. Now, they even in Europe recently offered a free episode of enjoyment in a brothel for a man if he would take a vaccine. I mean, this is gross. This is just basically a gross, distorted, macabre inducements to take a vaccine that everybody knows is not sufficiently safe. And it's really, really disturbing. You know, we have codes of ethics that say never to do that. Never. These vaccines are all investigational. They're all research. They're covered by the Nuremberg Code, which says under no circumstances should there be any coercion, pressure, or threats of reprisal. They're under the Helsinki Declaration of Helsinki. It says it must be fair and informed consent. People should be told of these mortality numbers and told of the hospitalization rates. You know, in the United States, we have over 30,000 Americans now that are permanently disabled after the vaccine. No wonder nobody wants to take them. So what's happened is nobody wants to take the vaccine. And so now the vaccine mandates came in and said, listen, if you don't want to take the vaccine, well, now you're going to lose your job. Now you can't go to school. And people know the vaccines are dangerous. So now they're given the most difficult decision, lose your freedom, lose your job, lose your progression in school, or potentially take a fatal or non-fatal injury with the vaccine. And so it couldn't be worse for those trying to promote the vaccines at this point in time. It's been a terrible situation. I don't know how they're going to get out of it.
Well, it's not only that. You've got the, I saw the federal, the FDA submitting to a federal judge to withhold the Pfizer safety data until 2076. So 55 years, you don't want to give us your safety data. Well, for 55 years, we're not going to take your vaccine. You know, I mean, really this, and I heard your comment about the fact that really the government and officials and everyone should be giving us weekly safety data to help us make an informed decision.
They should help us make an informed decision on efficacy. They still haven't told us which vaccine is the winner. So there's a winner in the United States. There must be a winner, a loser, and somebody in between. They still haven't said that, which is amazing. They say, listen, just take any vaccine. Well, you think, listen, if the mass vaccination program was about COVID and stopping COVID, wouldn't they want you to take the best vaccine? We're overloaded with these vaccines. Why would they just say any vaccine? So that, you know, the fact that there's no safety report, they're not telling you to take the best vaccine. The fact that it's kind of in a distorted way linked to employment and school, that we're violating the Nuremberg Code, we're violating the Declaration of Helsinki. You know, this is just, it's just not adding up. It's not looking good for those who are promoting the vaccine. You know, people keep asking on interviews, why are they doing this? And I said, listen, it's not looking too good for them. People don't want these vaccines. Then I think really the shoe dropped when we learned the vaccines don't work well enough. So, you know, if the vaccines were incredibly effective and they were stamping out COVID everywhere, you know, there would at least be a discussion. But what we found out is the vaccines had some limited protection. In a paper by Cohn and colleagues from the VA, we now see a 1 or 2% mortality benefit for a few months this spring when people took the vaccine. And by the way, those who took the vaccine were protected by death, even if they didn't have COVID. So, you know, just selection bias, people take a vaccine a little bit more healthy, a little bit better off in terms of protecting health. But there probably was a real mortality benefit, but it was small. And what was shown in the Cohn paper is the vaccine coverage now falls off a cliff after 6 months. In September, Pfizer, Moderna, J&J in the United States fell off a cliff. Two things happened in September. One, almost everybody took the vaccines, took them early. Now we've hit the 6 month expiration date. 22 studies show the vaccines run out of gas after 6 months. It basically, they're very short acting. And then on top of that, the Delta variant shaded in nearly completely. And the Delta variant's resistant to some of the vaccines, particularly Pfizer. So we, you know, things really look bad for the vaccines in September. Sadly, in the United States, we have nearly 70% of Americans, 80% of seniors are taking the vaccine. They're effectively uncovered right now. They're uncovered. And they're facing the spectrum of boosters. So the problem with boosters is now we've learned, Bruce Patterson showed in a paper published in July 29th in preprint. Bruce trained at the University of Michigan, Northwestern. He's been a faculty at Stanford and Northwestern. He's top shelf pathologist. He's shown the spike protein lasts in the human body for up to 15 months now. No wonder people get long COVID syndrome. Now it's the S1 segment in human CD16 monocytes in Bruce's paper, but now he's been interviewed on my show, America Out Loud, the McCullough Report. He reviewed with me the vaccine data. And sure enough, now actually the S1 and the S2 segment of the spike protein exist in vaccinated people for months afterwards, for months. And I can tell you it's probably the same. It's probably gonna be 15 months. You can imagine shot one, 15 months to clear it out. Shot two, another 15 months. Shot three for immunocompromised, tack on another 15 months. So within 3 months now, we've tacked on many months of clearance. Now, at every 6 month boosters, I can tell you it's going to be impossible to clear out the spike protein. So you say, what's wrong with the spike protein accumulating? Well, you know, the FDA tells us it damages heart muscle. That's what causes myocarditis. The FDA tells us it damages the brain and the peripheral nervous system. That's what causes the neurologic syndromes like Guillain-Barré syndrome and transverse myelitis, the cerebral and cerebellar syndromes. It causes blood clots and damages blood vessels. That's the reason why the U.S. and Canadian authorities have warnings on Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca for blood clots. It couldn't get worse now. You can imagine people taking these vaccines, loading themselves up with this 1,200 amino acid dangerous spike protein. It was manipulated in the lab in Wuhan, China, to become more dangerous. And this is now, I think, well understood by everyone that we are loading people with the Wuhan spike protein of SARS-CoV-2, a product of gain-of-function research. And we're, in a sense, doing it to ourselves through a mass vaccination program.
And now we're going to hear from Neil Oliver. I think you'll find him interesting. It's all about freedom. Are you willing to sacrifice your freedom for the so-called security of a vaccine, when now we know that the vaccine does not prevent infection, allows you to transmit infection? The benefits, as limited as they are only for a short period of time. And all the other ways using medicines to help a person are denied. So what are we sacrificing? It starts with freedom. Here's what he has to say.
For 5 days this week, Austria locked down its unvaccinated people. Almost 2 million were only allowed out to work and to buy food and such. Many of those unvaccinated were therefore working in shops and cafes and restaurants and so on, as lowly servants, if you will. But as soon as their shifts ended, they could not be in those same places, certainly not as customers. Even before getting to the morality or otherwise of such rules, on what planet does that strategy even make sense? They were fit to serve the vaccinated their coffees and to bag their purchases, but they were deemed otherwise unclean and unfit to be mixing with the good, clean people. Austrians interviewed on the street were frighteningly unconcerned, unmoved, even supportive of the social hobbling of their fellow citizens. The virus must be stopped, they shrugged, ignoring or unaware of the fact no available vaccine fully prevents catching or spreading COVID. It seemed clear to me that the move was not about health, but about compliance and obedience, or rather, yet another bid to tackle and subdue the stubborn refusal to comply and to obey. Do as you're told. Now the authorities have the whole population locked down once more. Presumably, some bright spark somewhere had the notion that stigmatizing and segregating the unvaccinated might have the desired effect, but it certainly wasn't going to halt the spread. Certainly not in Vienna, where a brothel offers punters 30 minutes with the lady of your choice, and I'm quoting there, in return for taking the jab. Here we have women placed on a par with kebabs, burgers, ice cream, lottery tickets, and the rest of the freebies offered as inducements to compliance. This is not about health, certainly not the mental and physical health of those women. Trafficking of women for sex work is a feature of modern slavery across the world, but maybe we don't care about that. Instead, we turn a blind eye while men queue up to take a medical procedure and then help themselves to a woman. Left unsatisfied, Austria's elected officials felt they had to flex their muscles some more and announced that in February it will be compulsory to accept the vaccine. No jab, no alternative at all. Other countries, Germany, the Czech Republic, Greece, Italy, are on the same path as Austria towards locking down the unvaccinated. Perhaps those governments will also opt to make vaccination compulsory sooner rather than later. It seems frighteningly clear to me that the authorities in Austria and elsewhere are looking for scapegoats now, people to blame for a virus that won't comply or obey either. Infection rates in many of those countries where the greater part of the population is fully vaccinated with two or three doses are rising fast. Gibraltar is one of the most vaccinated regions on the planet, so too Israel, and yet infections continue to increase in both places. Rather than consider the possibility that the months-long strategy is not the right one, or to at least concede it's not having the predicted effect, it's easier to push blindly ahead and point the finger of blame at someone else. History shows bad governments often look for people to blame, often some of their own people. Uniting a large part of the population against a smaller part, giving frightened, angry people a focus for their frustrations and also for their disgust, is as old as the hills. If the 20th century has a lesson for us, a lesson that ought to be as permanent, as indelible as any scar or tattoo, it is that encouraging citizens to regard a minority of their fellows as unclean, as vectors of disease, generally ends badly, badly for everyone. In Poland in 1941, there was a propaganda campaign that spread the message that Jews spread typhus, a lethal disease. Blaming an identifiable minority for the spread of a disease is a ghost we should have laid to rest long ago. But here it is, back again. It turns out it never went away at all. History doesn't repeat, but it rhymes. The tone is changing across Europe now, reverting in many ways to the rhythms of an old tune. Can you hear the drums yet? The timbrels? What troubles me most of all is that there has been not a word of condemnation of Austria's decision from our leaders, not even the sounding of a note of caution. Where too are the faith leaders? You need look no further back in history than the 20th century, when churches turned their back on those made outcasts. Now Durham Cathedral has declared that some Christmas services will be only for those holding NHS vaccine passports. I'm not sure how that fits with Matthew 25:35. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. How on earth have we got here, and so quickly? Austria, a supposedly liberal modern democracy, has decided to assume full rights over the flesh and blood of its citizens. A government in 21st century Europe has decided it has the final say over what chemicals go into the bodies of those citizens. There's no way of denying that that is the crossing of a Rubicon. Once people have to surrender control of their bodies to the state, those people are in a different world, a world in which they are not autonomous beings but puppets on strings. It's also likely a world from which there is no turning back. Some will say, well, they can leave the country if they don't like it, go live somewhere else. But where in the world to go? In the 20th century, there were still places to go in the world to escape situations and regimes that had become unlivable and a threat to life. But what if the whole world changes in the same way? What if all the world becomes Austria? I want to hear our government condemn the decision taken by their counterparts in Austria. At the very least, I want our government to promise, on whatever is holy to them, that no such laws will ever be passed here in Great Britain. If they will neither condemn nor swear an unbreakable oath, then the only conclusion to be drawn is that they're watching to see how it goes in Austria and elsewhere, perhaps with a view to following suit. Over the last 20 months, there has grown an unmistakable note of contempt in the words of some politicians. Last week, Health Secretary Sajid Javid had a question from someone on Twitter, someone concerned that after having had two doses of the Pfizer vaccine, he was now being offered the Moderna variant as a booster. Javid's reply in its entirety was, "So what? How about you show some respect for the NHS? So what? How about you show some respect?" Open brackets, insect, close brackets. And this level of contempt directed at someone already taking the medicine as instructed. All of this from the health secretary, a servant of the people when I last looked. How about you don't ask any questions and just do as you're told?
Most of that is just good common sense. So now I have something I'm going to suggest. See if this makes sense. Robert Kennedy has the number 2 book on Amazon. It's very popular. It's really devastating. I highly recommend it. But we need documentaries. We need documentaries on specific topics. So what about the citizen journalists out there? This you could do on your own. Do investigations upon companies that receive money to do animal testing from Anthony Fauci and the National Institute of Health and National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Disease, which are the primary sponsors of these. There are thousands of studies done that are not needed, do not help us, but cause the unnecessary suffering. Make a list of some of these studies, the more absurd studies. We are paying for this, we the taxpayers, and we had no say-so in it. That's just one idea. And then try to get information on it. Try to do a little presentation, video, write out your story, and then highlight it, and then share that with the audience. All you can send them over to Jesse or Rodney at PRN, PRNstudio@gmail.com. And then they'll take the best ones and we'll play them. We have a worldwide audience. We're the number one progressive station in the world and the number one audience in the world for progressive thinkers. We're non-political, non-ideological. So if you want to do that work, we'll provide you with a forum. All right? Think of doing some of the other things like getting the people who've had adverse reactions to other vaccines, including all the autism casualties. There's probably in the neighborhood of 5 million total people involved in being casualties because of vaccines, including the MMR vaccine. And there are groups that you could contact the group, and they have all the people that they could have you interview, and you could film them. And we just keep, you know, pushing these out and letting people see the truth of how dangerous some of these vaccines have been. It's not just this vaccine that we should be concerned about. Someone out there who may have a little bit more of a science or academic background could do one vaccine, which is hepatitis, which is not needed at all if the mother is hepatitis negative. So why give a hepatitis vaccine to a non-developed immune system in a baby and then see all these adverse effects? It's just to make money. So why not show the science that does not support the hepatitis vaccine and how dangerous it is? I think that would be very constructive. We have to start deconstructing their arguments. Wherever possible, get an old clip of them promoting something and a new clip showing that they were absolutely wrong. Just split screen it. Here's what you're saying, and we followed it, we were obedient, and here's the consequence and the outcome. You were wrong. For example, one per person, someone do an expose on the fraud of using the PCR test as an accurate diagnostic tool, because if they hadn't used that, if there was no testing using PCR, we wouldn't have an epidemic or pandemic. We'd have a severe flu season. All right? Then someone do a piece on all the false mortality, counting anyone who died of anything as dying from COVID. In fact, they did this in hospice care. Everyone in there was dying, most from cancer, end stage. Every one of their deaths were labeled as COVID. By boosting up all these artificial numbers, fraudulent numbers, they didn't die from COVID, they died of other diseases, then that is a video, that's a story that needs to be told. All right? Then do one on the fact that they want to wait 50-plus years before they release the information on the study. Well, that shows you then that they know the truth. They don't want the public to know that. They'll be held accountable. So these are just some of the different discrepancies that would be individual, tightly controlled, no opinion, no editorializing, no politicizing, just the facts. Get them to us. We'll provide a forum for that, maybe even a program. Jesse might create a program that's just just for people who are citizen journalists, to have a place where their research, fully documented, can be presented. All right? I'm Gary Nall. Thank you all for listening and watching. Share all the information you can, especially download the interview I did with Robert Kennedy, and let's get it into more people's hands, because he did the outstanding research, and he just decimates everything that you've been taught about COVID. The mainstream media won't touch it, won't debate him. They'll just attack him. Have a nice day, everyone.